Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Let's talk about this because I'm obsessed. A bloated tummy is not a look that anyone is really aiming for, is it? And with the global market for digestive supplements due to be worth, listen to this, $28 billion by 2023, there are good health powders and pills being flogged absolutely everywhere you look, and I've bought into every single one of them. But is it a waste of money? Well, registered dietitian Orla Walsh is here to discuss. Orla, how's it going?
Everything's going fine. I'm not that bloated. Are you bloated, Jen?
Not at the moment. No. But it does happen from time to time. And I can never figure out what instigates it or what's the cause of it. So I'm interested to talk about this. But most people know that feeling of a bloated tummy. And if you have IBS, it can be a daily occurrence. Is it something we really need to worry about? I would say yes, if it's painful. But what do you think?
Yeah, I suppose it's a good idea to start off with what are the red flags. And firstly, you know, bloating is a problem if it's a problem. So if it's bothering you, please do go to your GP and let them know. But also, if you're bloated for 3 weeks or more, or more than 12 times a month, then check in with your GP. And if you have other symptoms, such as nausea, diarrhea, constipation, maybe you feel a lump in your tummy or a swelling, or you've unintentional weight loss, of course, blood in your poo, then they're all signs that you should definitely go speak to your GP.
Okay, they are the red flags. So what causes bloating?
Well, let's not medicalize at the same time normal bodily behaviors. It's normal to bloat a bit. Mm-hmm. We produce 1 to 4 pints of gas a day, and that needs to come out. So there's three ways the gas comes out of your body. We burp it out, we fart it out, and it also goes into our blood and we breathe it out. Most people fart anywhere between 12 to 15 times a day. So that's perfectly normal.
Not my husband.
And it's if my husband's listening, I best not comment. But our stomach would also stick out when we've eaten, because not only is food passing through our intestines, but water is drawn into the gut. And that does make your belly stick out a little bit. So that's completely normal, natural, and a necessity for life. Gas gets into your gut and into your intestines while we swallow it in. So when we chew gum, when we drink fizzy drinks, when we talk with our mouth full, all of that will increase the amount of gas going into our belly. But gas is also produced by the good bacteria in our gut. So they eat the food that we eat as well, but they produce gas.
Okay, gotcha. Is eating quickly a cause as well? Could that be a problem?
Absolutely. Like you can't eat well and expect that your gut is going to play ball. Okay. Because if you don't eat slowly, so if you don't take small mouthfuls, chew lots and leave gaps between mouthfuls, your stomach will act up. And that's really hard, especially with busy lives. And I know as parents, and I have it now with my newborn, is that I'm always expecting her to wake, so I eat really quickly. So my stomach is always at me at the moment, but it's simply because digestion starts in the mouth and I'm just not chewing enough.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's your professional view on whether it's realistic or even healthy to aim for a flat stomach? Let's talk about this because it's everywhere. It's a pressure we all kind of feel, I think, when we see these pictures online. But is it realistic? Is it achievable to keep?
Our bodies are all designed to be different. So some people will naturally have a flatter stomach than others, and some people will naturally store less fat on their belly than others, and as we age we store more fat in our belly too. So there's lots of things to consider there. I do think waist circumference is important, and we know that as our waist circumference increases, our risk of disease increases. But from an aesthetic point of view, you can't expect your stomach to always be flat and never stick out in any shape or form, and it's normal to bloat maybe a couple of times a month and not know why. I guess when bloating is a problem is that when it's causing people discomfort, or, you know, that they're having to change clothes or open the top button their jeans or something as the day goes on. A lot in our clinic, and that's what dietitians, that's our bread and butter, and, and how, you know, people come in with gut issues that they want resolved. And that's perfectly fine. And, you know, when it's getting in the way of your quality of life, then absolutely do something about it.
How important is fibre? I know it's very important, but I want you to say it, and I want you to tell listeners where they can get it in the kitchen, because we forget.
I feel like I'm always on social media talking about fibre. So I've been
fibre and milk.
I'm really fibre and milk are the things I'm known for.
Yeah.
In Ireland, we don't get enough fibre. So 80% of us are fibre deficient. So most people listening are fibre deficient.
That is crazy number.
It is. And if we don't get enough fiber, it obviously will affect our gut and it can lead to the likes of constipation. But fiber is also incredibly important in terms of health. Like, there was a big study that looked at observational studies and clinical trials carried out over 40 years. And they showed by eating enough fiber, we're actually going to reduce our, so there was a 15 to 30% decreased risk in all-cause mortality or in heart disease-related deaths. So in other words, you're less likely to die of heart disease when up. And, you know, that's astounding results. And it's incredible. You know, so fiber isn't just for gut, it's for heart health. It's to reduce the risk of cancers. It helps with a number of different conditions and diseases, and even the management of them. And getting fiber right in terms of the balance of the different types of fibers is important if you have IBS or if you have bloating or even things like endometriosis.
Okay, that's really interesting. So where are we getting it? Where are the best sources of fiber in our kitchen?
Well, certainly fruit and veg, as well as whole grains, nuts, seeds and legumes. But if you're kind of looking for ways to quickly increase your fiber intake, some foods are superfoods with regards to fiber. So the likes of berries, pears, mango, all beans, peas and lentils are extremely high. Chia seeds are incredibly high. And so too are linseeds and flax seeds. They're the same thing. Okay. They just have two names for the same seed. But if you are increasing your fiber, do it slowly. And also, when you're increasing your fiber, you have to increase your water intake or else you'll end up blocking the pipes.
We are a fan of All Bran. There are other other cereals are available, but myself and Cormac would be a fan of the old All Bran. What are your thoughts on that? Is it a breakfast?
Oh, I think it's, do you know what the interesting thing about All Bran is? That it's three times higher in fiber than any other high fiber cereal.
Aha!
So when you look at bran, yeah, exactly. If you look at bran flakes, Weetabix, all of those ones, All Bran is at, you know, at least three times higher in fiber than even porridge. There's three times more fiber in a bowl, a small bowl of All Bran compared to porridge. So it is, it's incredibly high in fiber. It's great. And for those people who don't like the sticks, there are clusters. Janie, it sounds like I'm sponsored by them, but I do really like them. And they are a way to get more fiber into
another
your diet.
Way. Yeah. But obviously, you know, the whole foods and the fruit and veg is the way to go, because you're getting other good stuff as well with them, aren't you?
Yeah. And generally speaking, in Ireland, we're not doing too badly in terms of fruit and veg when we compare against other countries. Mm. So we eat more fruit and veg than nearly everyone else in Europe. However, only one in three of us eats enough or even close to enough fruit and veg. So we still have lots of room for improvement. So when it comes to fruit and veg, most people do need to increase their intake and do spread it across the day. Because just say you get none at breakfast, a token veg at lunch and lots at dinner, your fiber intake is spread out unevenly across the day. So that can lead to bloating and gut issues too. So I'd encourage people to focus on two portions at each meal. So two fruit or veg at each of their meals.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Can I get your take on powdered mushrooms and probiotic tablets and all these things people are spending money on to help with their gut issues? What do you make of these supplements?
Most probiotics on the market are just expensive poo. So they haven't actually been shown to make it through the stomach acid and not be killed off. So we actually have no idea whether they're making it into the colon or the gut. And even if they make it there, we don't even know if it's actually doing anything good or bad or indifferent. And they're so expensive. And they're, for most part, they're not always needed. Generally speaking, only one in four people will get any relief from using probiotics. And that's probably some placebo in there, which is fine. I don't mind placebo. But also, it's probably that they're using one that actually has research behind it. So there are some good probiotics out there, but they're few and far between. And we use a specific probiotic for a specific problem. So someone comes in and they have traveler diarrhea. I'll go, you know, in other words, getting the runs when they're away. They're going away to a country and they don't want the runs, or else they've taken antibiotics and they don't want the runs or gut issues. And I'd be like, okay, we'll maybe trial Saccharomyces boulardii. So it's a very specific probiotic and a specific supplement. So it's not just taking them willy nilly. You know, need to know what you're doing. In the same way as you wouldn't take the same antibiotic for the for any old infection.
Okay. Really, really interesting stuff. Sorry, Cormac Battler's just come in. He's grabbing coffees for the team. Cormac, come in for a second. I have to bring him in because he's a big fan of the All Brand. He's going to be delighted. No, this is not an ad. This is not an ad. Cormac, I know you're running around doing your bits upstairs, but dietitian Orla Walsh is on the line and she said that All Brand is three times more your daily fibre intake than any other cereal.
Three times the
amount, not daily, because you need to take it anyway.
It is pretty strong, Orla.
It clears you out, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. I have overdosed on it a couple of times, though, I must admit. That can happen. So be careful.
Yeah, what would your advice to Cormac be now if he wants to replace a cereal with something more, that you get other stuff with it as well? More fruit and veg.
The thing is that once you're getting 3 grams of wheat fiber, it tends to tickle the gut and make it move. Ooh. So as long as you're getting 3 grams of wheat fiber in the bowl, it tends to be good in terms of stimulating the bowels and reducing constipation. And it tends to be a good one, especially for women who are pregnant, and a lot of pregnant women are constipated, because a lot of cereals are also fortified in iron. So if you're taking something that's high in fiber and high in iron, that can be, you know, a great scenario for lots of people, but especially pregnant women. So I would just look at the amount of fiber per 100 grams of your cereal. So if there's greater than 6 grams of fiber per 100 grams, then it's a high fiber cereal.
Okay. And lastly, just because I have Cormac here, all the ads for gut health and all that seems to be aimed at women. What is the gender split in bloating? I mean, me and Cormac and Graham talk about it regularly. I would say it's quite 50-50, but is it?
To be honest, more women are shown to have IBS and gut issues than men. And there could be a hormonal reason to it, because women do find that their gut acts up or acts differently around their period or with hormonal fluctuations. That said, if you've ever been to a place that has communal, you know, where men and women both use the same toilets, maybe it's also a perception of what is normal. Because I think a lot of, this is just a general statement, but what could be seen as normal to a lad might not be acceptable to a woman.
Oh, that goes without saying, doesn't it, Orla? I think it,
you can always check that chart, Orla, as well. Is it called the Bristol?
The Bristol stool chart is great because it shows you what your poo should look like.
Oh, can you get me that for Christmas?
It should always be brown.
Okay, should always be brown. Good tip.
It should look like maybe, a twirl or something like that.
A twirl. Okay.
Not chocolate angel delight.
Yeah, it comes in 8 sections, doesn't it, Orla? There's 8 different types, but that's maybe for a different discussion.
Do you have this in your bathroom?
So there's 7 different types, and the first one is constipation, like bad constipation, where it looks like Maltesers.
Yeah, pebbles kind
of. And the second type looks like maybe a Lion bar.
Gotcha.
And then it goes all the way down to diarrhea, which looks like hot chocolate.
Ooh.
I know, I'm ruining chocolate.
He was just about to go and get me something nice and a bit of chocolate and a coffee, but I think I'm going to change my mind.
I'm not going to get a selection box today, that's for sure.
Orla, you're a star. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. That was registered dietitian. That means she knows what she's talking about. Orla, what are you laughing at? You love talking shite. You love it.
Jem Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.